You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, September 1st, 2025. Gravel Dan streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com. If you're in the U.S., this is Labor Day. Hopefully you got a three-day weekend. So many people are employed in the service industries that a lot of people don't get any three-day weekends anymore. Heck, it's getting where people can't hardly get Thanksgiving and Christmas off. But I hope you maybe did get a long weekend of sorts. Either way, I'm glad you took the time to tune in today. We're not taking a vacation here. We're kicking off your week once again with the Daily Nationalist, or as we like to call it, Daily Mail Monday. It's really slow. I struggled to get some articles together. It was nonstop celebrity news today in the Daily Mail, so I did struggle to find some stories, but I did get some stuff, kind of just a shotgun of different stories. So I did get some stuff together. We are going to get right into it. Our first story, once again, it's these paragraph long headlines. It's just one of those things that'll never cease to wear me out with the Daily Mail. But we have a story about more democracy success in the Great Britain, the mighty British Empire. Anti-migrant protesters, including women and at least one child, are pepper sprayed amid angry confrontation with police inside Canary Wharf Shopping Center as Labour insists rights of asylum seekers trump locals. Isn't it just amazing, no matter who you vote for in these wonderful democracies, you get the same thing. I was reading another article yesterday pointing out the obvious, that the whole Brexit vote was about immigration. That was one of the main reasons people voted for Brexit in Britain, to leave the EU. They thought, because see, up to that point, they got nonstop immigration. And when they complained about it, the government told them, oh, well, we can't help it. The EU is making us do this. This is part of our EU mandated obligations. So they get Brexit done. They leave the EU and the immigration continues. If nothing else, it's getting worse. More migrants, nonstop. So it doesn't matter. It's like the saying goes, like people are pointing out, you can't vote your way out of this. You vote for one party and you get more of the same. You vote to lead the EU, you get more of the same. It's almost like democracy doesn't really work very well. Anti-migrant protesters, including women, pensioners, and at least one child, have been caught by a police pepper spray as violence erupted inside a Canary Wharf shopping center. An officer has also been punched in the face as demonstrators violently clashed with police at the Canada Square shopping mall, with one child being caught with pepper spray used in an arrest of a protester. Footage shared on social media shows crowds of angry balaclava-clad men descending on police as cops wrestled the detainee to the ground as officers quickly create a row blocking the demonstrators off from the detainee. As tensions escalated between the force and anti-migrant protesters, the two groups continued to tussle, pushing one another back as officers could be heard yelling, "Back off and move back off and move back." Amid the chaos, a policeman standing behind a row of colleagues is seen reaching over and deploying pepper spray into the crowd and protesters, with one woman reeling away in agony. A screaming child, who was also caught by the pepper spray, was pictured being carried away for treatment before a masked man wearing a pink t-shirt dabbed his eyes with water-soaked paper roll in a bid to subdue his burning eyes. I just have to say, look, if you're going to a protest, it's pointless, but if you are going to a protest, don't take kids. I don't understand why you would do that. You know, this is just, It's just a bad idea. Also, there's they note here, supposedly one British police officer was punched in the face. Does anybody care? Is anybody going, well, I hope the officer is okay. I can't imagine. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in Britain. But considering the track record of British law enforcement, I can't imagine anybody giving a shit about how the Bobby is doing. I mean, I don't, I wonder how these cops feel when they're obviously earning this hatred from the public and how they think that's eventually going to work out for them. You know, at some point in time, these things right now, they're happening at protests. But as this continues to drag on, because here's the thing, the people with the power, the people who are forcing this on the public. And again, this is with the backdrop of, oh, it's a democracy, the will of the people. You see, you're governed by the people, for the people. You're not living in some sort of backwards authoritarian or some backwards authoritarian government. This is the democracy where the people are represented. And you have this obvious case where the people do not want this. So what the hell are we getting here? What the hell is anybody getting in these democracy countries? The people, when the people are violently out protesting and yeah, it's pretty tame violence. Mostly it's pushing back against the police who are basically trying to shut them down. But when the people are having this, you can't look at this and say, well, it's a bit ambiguous how the people of Britain feel about this. Maybe they really do want more migrants. It's plain, it's quite obvious that they do not. So if this democracy system means representing the people, then why is the government not saying, well, we've heard you loud and clear, and so we're going to stop the migrants? Again, they voted for Brexit because they wanted to stop the migrants. They voted for the Tories because they wanted to stop the migrants. They eventually gave up voting for the Tories because they never did stop the migrants. And now, of course, the Labour Party, which won by default, is doubling down on, yes, you guessed it, more migrants. It doesn't seem like this form of government has anything to do with the will of the people or by the people or for the people. It seems like the people get more migrants, regardless of how they feel about it. The latest clashes come as the Court of Appeal set aside an injunction granted earlier this month, which would have stopped 138 asylum seekers from being housed at the Bell Hotel in Essex beyond September 12th. In recent weeks, the hotel has become the focal point of several protests and counter-protests after an asylum seeker housed there was charged with sexually assaulting a teenage girl last month. Hadush Gurbilisai Kabatu, 38, has denied any wrongdoing. Earlier today, Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson insisted the Home Office was right to argue the rights of asylum seekers trumped those of local residents in the town. Let's stop there and just let that soak in. This is a democracy. The people are represented. The government represents the people. And here you have the government arguing that these migrants, it trumps, the Home Office is arguing the rights of asylum seekers trump those of the actual citizens of the country. Make that make sense. It doesn't make sense because it's all a lie. We're seeing this continued breakdown in the lying narrative concerning this supposedly democratic form of government. You know, we're possibly nearing a point where being called a democracy is a derogatory term. Well, let's hear how Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson argues that migrants have more rights than the people that live there. She said the axing of the town's Bell Hotel, which has been plagued by weeks of unrest, would have triggered lots of disruption and left people on the streets. How about sending them back home? You know, this isn't... They act, once again, you see this over and over. They will take these problems that have a very straightforward answer. A, you don't let them in the country in the first place. B, the ones that are there, you simply pack them up and send them back where they came from. Simple as. But no, what do? Time and again, they act like, well, this is very complicated. This is very new. If we don't house them here, then they'll be homeless. They'll be on the streets. They don't give a shit about any Britons that are homeless and on the street, mind you. But these poor, precious migrants. At some point, whenever you have to imagine at some point when the media comes out with one of these stories, like about Russia or China or somebody else, and starts talking about these people are a threat to our democracy, that's going to be like have the opposite effect of what they're intending. Because the democracy seems to be a threat to the people. What are they even arguing about as far as arguing for promoting that democracy is this great form of governance? What are you getting? High taxes, nonstop invasion, because it's what it is. Just because you don't arm the invaders, it doesn't change the fact. If you send an army over the border and had them put civilian clothes on and leave their guns at home, would that change it from being an invasion? I fail to see what the people are getting out of this form of government. Where's the argument? Where is the part? Where's the argument that can be made for this? You know, oh, yes, well, yeah, but, you know, look what you're getting. You know, what are the trade-offs? You know, because nothing's perfect in this world. You know, you make a deal. And, you know, you say, well, these are the pros of this decision, of this deal. These are the cons of this deal. These are the upsides. This is the downside. This is the plus. This is the negatives. And if you go along with a deal, then you have decided that the pros outweigh the cons. You know, the positives outweigh the negatives. So that's the way real life works. Nothing's perfect. I don't see any pros anymore for the democracy system. You get wars that you don't want. They just... I was reading another article the other day, you know, in Germany, Merz is saying that, you know, basically, well, economically, we're boned here, you know, and we're going to have to do something because we're not going to be able to afford, you know, a lot of things people are used to anymore. And then out of the next breath out of his mouth, we're going to send some more billions to the Ukraine. So you get wars. People don't want the wars and it doesn't matter. You get nonstop migrants and nobody wants it. It doesn't matter. You get more censorship, clamp down on any sort of right to say what you want to say or comment on these matters, especially politically. You get more of that. It doesn't matter what the people want. What anymore? What is the argument for democracy? I don't see it. I'm sitting here trying to imagine what are the arguments for it? Because I don't see what the people are getting out of this. And you can't say this is a unique situation for one country because we're seeing this now in virtually every democracy country in the world. The exact opposite of what people want. Let's hear the argument. What are the pros? What are people getting for this that makes this the trade-off worth it? Because we can see the cons. We can see the negatives, and they're big negatives. Your country's being invaded. I mean, that's what it is. They'll say that's hyperbole. They'll say, oh, no, you're using ridiculous. It's a documented fact that the vast majority of people coming into all of these countries are basically able-bodied men. They're not women and children. They're not that would make it okay. You have able-bodied men, you have an invasion. Because they're technically not wearing a uniform and carrying a gun doesn't change the fact that it's an invasion. So the home countries are being invaded. The people's standards of living are plummeting. That's another fact that can't be argued against. The standards of living are plummeting while at the same time the governments are going broke, and at the same time the governments insist on spending more billions of dollars and provoking a war that they can't win against Russia. Make this make sense. Nobody wants the wars and nobody wants the migrants. And yet, what are they getting? More migrants and more talk of wars. I'm where's the arguments for this system? Where are the pro arguments? Because I'm not seeing them. I don't see any upsides anymore. Let's move on. Like I said, it becomes apparent that I'm struggling to find stories today because I don't do celebrity or royal family. Our next article is headlined, "The U.S. Housing Market Grinds Through a Cruel Summer That Is Bad News for Everyone." This isn't the sort of article I normally do here. But I thought it was interesting because it reflects how we don't really have a market. You know, I've said this. I know Dr. Johnson has pointed this out multiple times. Whenever conservative types, normie conservative types or whatever, you know, talk about libertarians, those childish people, bless their hearts, you know, try to talk about the free market. There isn't a free market. It's all oligarchy. It's all control. You know, it's. We'll get into this. The U.S. housing market is enduring a cruel summer, leaving buyers, sellers, and builders equally frustrated. High prices and soaring mortgage rates are forcing many would-be buyers to remain on the sidelines. Meanwhile, sellers are deciding they would rather delist their home entirely than budge on the price they have in mind. Home builders are feeling the pinch too, slowing construction as the market stalls. It's the Anna Karenina, I have no idea who the hell that is, I guess I'm supposed to know, housing market. Everyone is unhappy, but each in their own way, said Realtor.com senior economist Jake Krimmel. In other words, buyers, sellers, and builders each face unique challenges, yet the result is widespread dissatisfaction across the market. The market, there's that word again. As a result, the market is in stasis and grinding through a cruel summer. Buyers face steep affordability barriers. Sellers are losing market power, but are futilely resisting. And builders are now pulling back, even as the nation remains short of 4 million homes. And regional markets are dysfunctional in their own unique ways. Okay, I'm just going to stop there. It gives us the summary of what we're talking about. Now, they're giving us a summary of the situation. And if you are a libertarian type or normicon, and you have this view that, you know, we actually have some sort of functioning market in these democracy countries, this article is full of all sorts of contradictions. But when you look at the world through the lens of reality instead of these rose-colored glasses of ideology, it actually all makes perfect sense, and the problems are easily solved. Again, just like with our prior story talking about the immigration, where they act like, well, this is very complicated. We don't know. We have to work it out. We just can't figure it out. We're trying to figure out this very difficult, complicated situation. We have to let them in. I mean, we're obligated to let them in. And then we have to abide by the law. And
instead of just, you know, stop them from coming in the first place. And then the ones that are here, you simply put them on a plane or a boat and send them back.
This isn't that hard. Also here, you know, they talk about this, like, oh my gosh, it's complicated. It's not complicated. But you see, in the democracy, it is complicated because they don't actually, it's complicated because they don't really want to solve it. That's all that's complicated about it. These problems, these issues, they're not hard to fix. If you gave me absolute power over whatever country, I could fix this in a week. It might take longer for it to actually, you know, to physically get these things done. But as far as making the decision how to fix it, I can do that in less than a minute. Put the things in place, fix it. It's not complicated. This story here is the same thing. This whole situation here, first off, it tells you there is no actual market here at work. Because if there was a traditional what people think of in the market, supply and demand. Okay, so the demand is drying up for a number of reasons. The number one being simple, people can't afford it. You know, they talk about the rising interest rates, and that's true enough. But back in the 1980s, they jacked interest rates were like up ridiculous, like 20% in some cases. I mean, it's going to be probably a little, it was probably a little less for mortgages, but the interest rates are way higher than they are now. And people still bought homes. The bottom line fundamental first problem is people can't afford these things. They want a house. They can't afford them. Simple enough. Now, they point out here that 4 million, something like that. We have a 4 million shortage of people that need homes. 4 million homes. Yeah, the nation remains short of 4 million homes. So you have a demand there. But people can't afford it. Even though Trump may be telling us all how wonderful the economy is doing, obviously people can't afford the homes. Now, I don't want to get off on that because that really doesn't have anything to do so much with our discussion. The point here is there are buyers. There are people who potentially want to buy. Now, there are going to be people who just are broke and they don't have the money. And that's more and more people now. Mortgage rates have gone up. Okay, so if we have a functioning market, that means the price should be coming down. If people want to sell their homes, then the price should be coming down. Now, if you're an individual person and you own a home, why are you selling it in the first place? Most people, this is one of the dead giveaways, and they try to debunk these things. Most people, if you buy a home, you make that your home. You know, if you think about your family, your parents, your grandparents, they bought a home at some point in their lives, and they lived in that house their entire lives. You know? But now you have people trying to sell these homes. Why are they trying to sell the home? We're going to circle back to what I said about this is easy to fix. If you passed a national law that essentially nobody outside of individual home buyers can buy a home. In other words, BlackRock, Blackstone, Black whatever can't buy houses. Speculators cannot buy houses. This is the problem. They're dancing around it here and acting, trying to give this mirage that there's a free market at work here. And for some reason, it's just not functioning like it should. We don't understand. No, the fly in the ointment here is that you have speculation. You have these outfits like BlackRock, Blackstone, whatnot. Vanguard name. It's Wall Streeters buying up these homes. We know this is well documented. They're buying up these homes in anticipation of basically people having to rent. You know, these are not people buying, you know, these are not being bought up by people who are looking, you know, to buy a home to live in the rest of their lives. They're being bought up. This is where you have an artificial demand. The artificial demand has come from these Wall Street speculators. That's why the price has gotten driven up over the past several years. That's where artificial demand, they have bought these houses up. Now, when it's time to sell them, of course, they're not going to want to lower the price because they've got to have a return on their investment. You see, it's an investment. It's not people buying a home to live in. It's an investment to turn a profit. You see, if an individual person, if you decided, for instance, you bought a house, you've been living in it 10 years, and you've decided for whatever reason you don't like where you live, or maybe you want to sell your home and move to be closer with your family or something like that. Nothing wrong with that. So you're going to sell your house. You decided I'm moving, I'm relocating to, I don't know, Florida or some shit. You know, your kids live in Florida, you want to be closer to them. So you put your house up for sale. You're going to sell your house and buy a place in Florida. Well, you know, the market value of your house is what it can bring. I always say when it comes to selling anything, whether it's your house, your car, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the internet tells you it's worth. It doesn't matter what your buddy down the street tells you it's worth. Your whatever it is you're selling, it's worth what somebody will pay you for it. It doesn't matter what a piece of paper says. It doesn't matter what anybody says. Again, you're free to ask whatever you want for it. But it's only worth what somebody will pay you for. People say, I know this, you know, I've got this old beat to shit pickup and I know it's worth $40,000. Well, how come you haven't found anybody to give that to you for. If you can only find somebody willing to pay you $4,000 for it, then that's all it's worth. It doesn't matter what you think it's worth or what you're just sure it's worth. Now, if you're a person and you're selling your home, you want to move to Florida, and you've got it in your head that your house is worth $600,000, that's all well and good. But if all anyone's going to pay you for it is $200,000, it's a $200,000 house. Doesn't matter what it says on paper. Doesn't matter what your Uncle Leroy told you. It don't matter what anybody says. It's worth what people will pay you for it. And at the end of the day, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to sell the house for $200,000 so you can go on with your life and move to Florida and buy a house down there. Or you're going to say, I can't afford to buy a house in Florida if I only get $200,000 and that's all I can get for this place. So we're going to take the house off the market and we're going to stay living where we're at. It's that simple. When these Wall Street hedge funds buy up houses, they don't have to make these difficult decisions because they know the government's gonna got their back. They're not facing the same decision as you wanting to move to Florida. And you really want to move to Florida, so you finally decide, well, I've got one guy that's offered me $250,000 for my supposed $400,000 house. I can make my move. You're going to take the $250,000. See, a Wall Street hedge fund doesn't have to make that either-or choice. They can just sit there on it. They've got $1 trillion in their portfolio. You know, they'll just sit on it. They'll just wait. I said these things are easy to solve. How would you solve this? Well, quite easy. You just don't allow anyone to buy houses except for individual people. No hedge funds. No Wall Street brokerage firms. No Wall Street brokerage firms. I glitched out there for a minute. Houses should be to live in, not for Wall Street stock portfolios. Everything has been, monetized. No, you know, it's just like staying on the same subject. You know, for people who can't buy a house and they don't have the credit to get a mortgage, you know, to borrow the money to buy a house. These people are your traditional renters. You know, they have to rent a place. When I was a young person, you know, it was no big deal. Anybody that had any kind of job at all could rent a place to live. You know, if you're young, you don't know that. But I'm telling you, like back in the 80s, even the early 90s, you know, if you were fresh out of high school with a, you know, shitty minimum wage job somewhere, it didn't matter. You made enough money, you could afford to rent a place. You might be a little tight on your budget, but affording to go rent an apartment was not like this major issue. It is now. You know, it is. Why is that? Well, because back in those days, most of your rental properties were owned by some guy. You know, so a person went out and they bought a home to live in. And they had some extra money and they needed some passive income or looking forward for some income to come in to help supplement their retirement. And they would buy another property, be it an apartment building or one or two houses. And that individual person would rent the house out. And yes, the market, we had a market then, and it actually functioned. You know, places are renting in this town for $350 a month. So that person knew he's going to be able to get around $350 a month. If that person bought up a couple rental properties and said, I want $1,200 a month to rent this, they would never rent it out. Now these rental properties are owned by investment firms. Houses are owned by investment firms. Everything's owned by investment firms. And they don't have to sell. They'll just sit there and let it percolate on their portfolio, percolate on the books. You see? There is no market. All you'd have to do is just simply say, yeah, no, Wall Street's not. But we know that's not going to happen ever. Because while democracy may not represent the people, it damn sure represents Wall Street. Now, I wanted to wrap up on a humorous note here. And this story, well, actually, I think I can go through the whole story because it's actually not that long. It's so Daily Mail here. Plus size model lays bare her struggle to find love. Says men are too ashamed to be seen with with larger woman. A plus size woman has laid bare her struggle to find love and slammed men who are too ashamed to be seen with a larger woman. You gotta love how it's the man's fault once again, you know? It's like, it's men's problem that they don't want to be with you. But the self-entitlement, you know, like she's owed a man, you know, and there's something where she slams men who just don't want to be seen with her, just don't want to be with her. Like she could improve herself. But now that's out of the question because this article is schizophrenic the way it goes back and forth about how wonderful it is to be a lard ass. But at the same time, it's so lonely because it's not that wonderful. After all, Alex Aspasia has earned a legion of followers online thanks to her body positive attitude. And while she embraces her curves no matter what, when it comes to dating, it's proven to be quite a challenging because nobody else wants to embrace them curves. The 31-year-old who got divorced last year has been searching high and low, Mr. Right. So she had a man. She had a man, but she got divorced. So now she's got the double whammy of the wall and the fact that she's a dump truck working against her. This is somebody who needs an intervention. These people don't have real friends. You know, I see this not just this type of person. They're all kinds of people. A real friend is somebody who's going to tell you, you know, the truth, whether it hurts your feelings or not. You know, a real friend would say, you know, so you're going to get divorced. You know, you're huge. You're headed towards, you know, diabetes and all these health problems. You're aged out. You're aging out. And you're really, really fat, but you're going to get divorced and jump back on the dating market. And somehow that's going to work out for you. And while she's had many suitors, there's been a recurring issue. I wonder what that is. They are too ashamed to be seen in public with her. I've been back in the dating world and it's been an eye-opening experience. The size 26 model said, who is 6 foot tall and weighs 385 pounds. She explained that while many men seem interested in her at first, they don't want to actually meet in person. I've found that plenty of men are interested in dating me, she said. I've had professional athletes and rappers in my DMs. I just want to say, I believe her. She's had professional athletes and rappers up in her DMs. And I'm looking at the pictures. I'm sure she has, which proves that the idea you have to fit a certain body to be liked isn't true. But that just contradicts everything you just said. You've been the whole article is about whining about you can't find anybody who wants to be with you. And you're sitting here. This proves that you've got. Let's be blunt here. She has blacks in her DMs, okay? And, you know, that's fine. I'm not being ugly here. This is I'll probably go ahead and use one of her pictures for our picture here for the show. And if not, I always put links to article. You can click the links and take a look at her. And, I mean, there is a look that black dudes generally, generally speaking, they find attractive. It's just their thing. I don't care. I'm not running it down. But yeah, I mean, okay, then get with them. I mean, the bottom line here is basically what we're seeing here. If you read between the delusion, you know, the self-delusion and the idiocy of this article, she can find black men to hit it and quit it. You know, she can go and find maybe even a professional athlete or a rapper will get it up in her DMs and she can go hook up. but you know, she's wanting somebody to support her lifestyle. She obviously, like so many women, she's very entitled. She thinks that she should have a lavish lifestyle, somebody with a lot of money to spoil her and treat her like a queen. And she can't find anybody to do that. She can find somebody to get up in her DMs and hook up for a night behind closed doors, hit it and quit it. But she can't find a Mr. Right, the ever elusive Mr. Right. But for most, let's get back to the story. But for most, that interest stays behind closed doors as if they're ashamed to be seen with a larger woman. This is a tacit admission of what I just said. She can find something behind closed doors. In other words, those doors are the bedroom. I dated one guy who admitted that he doesn't want anyone to know about us, and he said that his family wouldn't approve because of my size. His family probably wouldn't approve because he's probably married. It's pretty traumatizing when you get to know somebody, develop feelings, and then they tell you that you're not good enough to be introduced on their arm simply because of how much you weigh. Of course, there's a simple solution for this. You know that, right? Alex, who hails from Miami, Florida, said she believes men are drawn to her unapologetic confidence. I don't know. I shouldn't laugh because it's sad when people are so self-deluded that they say these things. Does she really believe? I mean, can you really delude yourself that much? Men are drawn to unapologetic confidence. I'm a person who believes in the truth. You know, I'm all about the truth. No, they're initially drawn to the fact that you're taking very selective photos with your makeup caked on and your hair done and your ginormous, probably fake tits. And they see that and they go, yeah, I would hit that. But when they do the full zoom out body photo or they meet you in person and they go, oh my gosh, the rest of you has caught up with your ginormous tits. They're not so drawn to you. That's the reality. You know, you can take these selective pictures. You can take these selective pictures and make yourself look good. You know, she's got these ginormous melons. She cakes on the makeup and got her hair done. You can take these pictures and by the face, you can go, yeah, that's a pretty big girl. But you're looking at them chi-chis and you're thinking, yeah, you know, if the rest of her's not too bad, it all works out. But at well over 300 pounds, 385 pounds, pushing 400 damn pounds. Yeah, no. Ain't no one want to roll around a... Alex, who hails from Miami, Florida, said she believes men are drawn to her unapologetic confidence, and it's rare to find that nowadays, especially in those plus size. I know that kind of confidence can be magnetic. If the theory of, you know, gravity being mass attracted to mass, it would be magnetic, like as in a gravitational pull, like drawing you into the sun. But I'm looking for someone who wants me for who I am, not my curves. So, you see what I mean about contradictions. The whole article is a big wine fest that no one wants to be seen with her because she weighs almost 400 damn pounds. But then she says, I want somebody who wants me for who I am, not because I weigh almost 400 pounds. You, this is contradictory on his face, isn't it? I want a relationship built on genuine connection, not just attraction. She recently went viral after she posted a clip detailing her struggle to find love on TikTok. In the video, which was viewed close to 1 million times, Alex sat by herself in a restaurant writing, another Saturday night alone because men love fat girls in their bed and not in public. No, they don't. Just stop. And what restaurant was it? I'm curious, because I'm sorry, I have to picture it was Golden Corral. It was some sort of all-you-can-eat buffet, because you know it wasn't. Damn sure wasn't Subway. It damn sure wasn't something, you know, wasn't a salad shop. What restaurant was it? It had to have been Golden Corral. In the end, Alex still feels hopeful. She will find someone who loves every part of her. That's going to be a lot of loving, honey. dating as a plus size woman is harder because men just lust after you.
God.
No. No. No, honey. No, they don't. And the majority want to experience you. Well, your ex-husband obviously didn't, but don't know how to fit you into their world because you don't fit. You are larger than their world. They won't know how to fit you in their world because you don't fit. Because of the harsh judgment we receive, I still have hope that I will find somebody, and I want to tell people not to settle. It's complicated, but I refuse to entertain anyone who would keep me a secret. Okay. Look, I'm going to say what her friends should say if she actually had any. You don't have any friends, by the way, darling. You think you do, but you don't. You think you have girlfriends and they all snickering behind, you know, because you big. I'm going to tell you what your friends should tell you. Get on the Ozempic, get a lap band, do something. And lose weight. It's really, you're headed, you're not going to live at 400, you're 31 years old, you 400, you almost 400 pounds. It's 385 pounds and women lie about their weight all the time. We're going to say 400 pounds. You just shy at best, just shy of 400 pounds. How old do you think you're going to live at 400 pounds? You can sit here and vomit this body positivity bullshit out all you want to. Forget the I'm trying to find love nonsense. You're 400 pounds. You're almost 400 pounds. And everybody gains weight as they age. So you're looking at 400 to 500 pounds at some point if you stay on the track that you're on. How long do you think you're going to live? What kind of, you know, physical health do you think you're going to be in when you're 40, 50? Are you going to live that long? How long are your knees going to be able to support that weight? Look, you're going to have to lose weight or you're going to die. It's that simple. You're going to die. All of this, this was a humorous article and I'm winding it up on a serious note, kind of, which is flip side of what I usually do. But seriously, you're going to die. You're going to have bad knees. Your ankles are going to fail. You're going to go into your organs are going to start failing because your organs are not designed to support that much mass. They're just not. You can sit there and try to jerk everybody off with body positivity and I love myself. Your organs don't love you. Your organs can support like 20% of your size. You're going to have to lose weight or you're going to die. You're going to have multiple health problems and then you're going to die. When you lose weight, you won't have to pretend you feel good about yourself anymore. You won't have to run around and tell everybody you feel good about yourself anymore because you really will feel better about yourself. You will have accomplished something. And if you lose enough weight and get fit and, you know, start having some actual self-esteem, not this fake shit you're doing for the Daily Mail, then you know what? Maybe, just maybe, you'll have more, you know, you'll have somebody besides professional athletes and rappers up in your DMs. We're running a little late. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. If you got Labor Day off, I hope you enjoy the rest of your long weekend. I'll be back tomorrow at the Parish of the Patriots program. Dr. Johnson will be here Wednesday with the Orthodox Nationalist. And as always, he wraps up our week on Thursday with his installment of the Daily Nationalist. So again, I hope you enjoy the rest of the week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.